Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself, Aaliyah Butler. I want to thank you so much for tuning in tonight and joining us out of your busy schedule, because I know many of us are multitasking, but thank you so much for taking the time out to join us on Fire to Inspire. As I say each and every week, it's time to stop existing, it's time to stop settling, and it's time to start living the life that you were created to live. So tonight we have our show entitled Righting Your Wrongs. So we have an awesome guest, but before we go into that, we're going to give homage to our wonderful sponsors that sponsor us each and every week. And our sponsors tonight are Evangelist Alexandra Townsend, author of Experiencing the Greatness of God in the Spiritual Realm. Third Heaven Sound is not just a music, it's a sound. Unique Expression by Design, they're your one-stop shop for business promotional products, custom promotional products, and corporate gifts. And finally, Roz Hair and Beauty Bar, specializing in natural hair, twists, lock maintenance, braids, sew-ins, and much, much more. We are back to On Fire to Inspire tonight with a wonderful, wonderful, powerful guest tonight. And the topic, again, is Righting Wrongs. And so our guest is Ms. Pat Tucker, none other than Ms. Pat Tucker, who is the author of 13 books. She has a phenomenal, phenomenal background, but I'm not going to go too deep because she's going to tell us who she is momentarily. Welcome to On Fire to Inspire tonight, Ms. Pat. How are you tonight?
I'm well. I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Great, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Fire to Inspire. I tell you, it's an honor to be able to be on the same platform as someone that has your heart and your gifts. Tell the listening audience, who is Pat Tucker?
Well, Pat Tucker is an author, a mother, a wife, a sister, a daughter, a visionary, a person with a wild imagination, and most importantly, I think that Pat Tucker is a people lover.
Love it. Love it. A people lover. Great. Now, Pat, you've been in broadcasting and journalism for how many years now?
You know, I took all of my adult life, basically, absolutely all of my adult life, because before I was being paid to be in broadcast news, I was an intern for many years, which led to my very first job. And then thereafter, I worked at a TV station in San Jose, California, where I went to school. I'm a graduate of San Jose State University, and mm-hmm. that led to my very first paid job. But before then, I was working at that station as an intern for like almost 2 years. So they probably just felt sorry for me and was like, she's not going away, so let's just give her a paycheck. And then, of course, that led to my very first on-air position as a reporter, which was mm-hmm. in Victoria, Texas. And thereafter, I moved to the Waco market and from there to Houston market. And now I'm in Houston, still a reporter, but instead of in front of the camera, I'm behind the microphone at a radio station, KPFT.
Okay, so you have spent your entire life, adult life, in broadcasting in some capacity, be it TV or radio.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. Tell us some of your accomplishments, some of the things that you've accomplished being in broadcasting, being a writer, an author. Tell us a little bit about some of your accomplishments.
Well, I think certainly the I am an award-winning journalist. I received an award from the Black NABJ, National Association of Black Journalists, and for a story that I did about a school here in Houston that was really deteriorating, and what the parents and the students who attended that school suffered as a result of that. I think that for me personally, a major accomplishment was becoming a published author, because even though I say that I've been a journalist all of my adult life, even before I graduated from college, I'd been trying to become a published author. And so I spent many, many years receiving rejection letters from literary agents, but also from publishing houses. And so after enduring that for a number of years, I finally, decided that I wanted to do something to help steer my destiny. And I know that people, when I say that, people always say, well, your destiny is your destiny, and there's not really much you can do to change the course of your destiny. But I beg to differ a little. And so for me, it was trying to determine whether I was going to sit back and allow people who knew nothing about me, nothing about my experiences, to determine whether I would make it in the literary business. And so I, after receiving all those rejection letters, one day just decided to publish my own book. And that's what I did. And that led me onto the path of becoming a published author via a small press. And then, as they say, the rest is history.
Amen, amen. I tell you, it's something else how you can keep pushing by what you're seeing, or what's spoken or what's not spoken. You just continue to push, and that is so humbling to see, because so many people, they'll get about the fifth rejection level. They're like, this ain't meant to be, But you were like, no.
Fifth, baby, I had enough to wallpaper a 42,000 square foot house and the garage, wallpaper, ceiling, floor, everything, closet. Fifth, what?
Wow. But you said, this is not stopping me. Wow. So being in broadcasting, I know you've seen it all, especially as a news reporter. Give us an example of something where you've seen a person have to make it right, where they had to right their wrong.
Oh, my gosh. There are so many cases, because what usually happens is when people call the media is at the point where they feel that they either have experienced an injustice, they feel helpless, they feel like no one is listening, and so they call the media, because they know that oftentimes what will happen is we get onto the story and results happen. And I say that, and I don't mean to say that lightly. I often, times tell people that I've seen cases where, an apartment complex, you're living in a situation where you are with a slumlord and they don't do anything. You're paying rent, because if you don't pay rent, then they put you out, right? So you're paying rent, and perhaps the plumbing isn't working right, the heat isn't working, and maybe you have advocated for yourself. You've tried to cut back on paying the rent on time. You've done all of these things, and there's been absolutely no response. But if you call that TV station down the street, then all of a sudden, miraculously, they are willing, and they are willing to right that wrong. And so to me, the media is very powerful in that sense, and because we are able to get results oftentimes when people are not able to secure it for themselves. And I always tell people that, never underestimate the power that you have as the person who consumes what the media is for. And so in many cases, your local TV station, your local radio station, they want to hear those stories where, you know, a scenario just like what I explained, something that is not, you know, the big flashy headlines, but certainly something that the masses can relate to. And so in my work, I see that type of stuff every single day. I see cases where, you know, mothers are like, you know, my son is being wrongly accused of doing this or doing that. And I keep calling the police department and nobody's calling me back and I can't get anywhere. When I call the police department, I'm getting the type of answers that that poor mother had been struggling to get for 3, 4, 5, 6 months. And so certainly in my career, every single day I see instances of people attempting to right a wrong.
So being that you see this on a daily basis, what does that, when it, you know, when it comes to the topic itself, righting wrong, what does it mean to you?
It means several things. I think that it certainly, of course, we can talk about redemption because that is obviously, you know, that is the obvious rather. But I think that given the opportunity to right a wrong, shows growth on both sides. It shows growth on the side of the person who was wronged, willing to forgive, willing to have an open mind to say, okay, I know this is what has happened, but I won't hold it against you. And then also the person who is willing to try to work the wrong to willing, you know, willing to try to work to correct the wrong, saying that, you know, I'm going to be a big person and I'm going to step up and admit that I've done something wrong and I want to go ahead and try to fix it. So I think that when there is a desire to right a wrong, I think that it shows true human nature and what people are capable of. You know, everybody's not there. Everybody's not going to make that conscious decision to do the right thing. But for those who do, you know, I think that they should be commended certainly for, number one, either being willing to step up and say, I was wrong, I did the wrong thing, or on the other side to say, yes, that was wrong, but I forgive you, and now we can move on.
I like that. I like that. Because it takes a mature person to be able to say, you know what, I forgive you, you know.
Exactly.
And it also takes a mature person to say, I did, you know, I did not make the best choice, and I do want you to forgive me, you know. So, yes, I like that. I like the way you put that. So we're going back to your author hat, okay? So you're going to put your author hat back on. You have authored 13 books. You've been a part of 3 anthologies. What keeps you motivated?
I certainly think that what keeps me motivated really is what I see each and every day, be it a news story that inspires me or something that happens in real life. I try to craft stories that people can actually relate to. For me, it's rewarding to know that you read a story that I write and you may see yourself in the pages of the books. And so that is very important to me. And I'm very glad to say that in many cases, you know, I often get messages from people and they say, oh, you must have been writing about my cousin, or you must have, I know, you know, my coworker, or you know what I'm saying? So that for me is completely rewarding because it lets me know that I am doing my job, that I am accomplishing my goal, that I am reaching my readers. And so in this book, Somebody Has to Pay, we're dealing with child support drama, and we're dealing with a different aspect of it. When I say child support drama, oftentimes people, anytime I say it, people are like, oh, is it Daddy by Default, the original book that started this whole series? But no, this time we're dealing with a situation where the question is being asked, if someone does something that they know is wrong and they are caught, you know, should they be punished for what they did? you know? And mm-hmm. so I think that that's something that we can take and we can basically attribute that to all aspects of life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what's the title of that book?
The book is called Somebody Has to Pay. And the book is really about, it focuses on two young ladies. And one young lady basically goes on a national TV show. And on that show, she admits that the person that she had fingered as the father of her child is not really the father. And so she now has to face consequences for making this very public accusation. And then we have another character, the secondary character, who is in she's in a point in her life where she was involved in a relationship with a man who was separated, but he decided to go back to his wife and she became pregnant. And so she felt like, you know, we were together when you guys were separated, and you should have chosen me over her. And so we have these two young ladies in compromising situations, and really the choices that they make really speak a lot about their character and about the type of people that they are. But again, I pride mm-hmm. myself on creating characters that when you read those pages, you know, you may not want to admit it, but either you see a little bit of yourself or certainly somebody you know.
Mm-hmm. Real life things that you can relate to. I tell you, that's definitely a page turner when you can pick up a book and see someone that you know and can relate to it. Because you've seen yeah. it, even if you don't know someone personally, you know of someone that fit that mold, so to speak. So is that your most recent one that you released?
Yes, okay. Somebody Has to Pay just came out last month in November. Okay. And I like to tackle social issues, but in an enlightening way. And so mm-hmm. this book, Somebody Has to Pay, is actually my third book that deals with child support drama. The first book mm-hmm. that started it all was Daddy by Default. And in that mm-hmm. book, I looked at a little known law that exists in 23 states, and it simply says that if a man misses a deadline to question paternity and DNA proves that he did not father that child, he still has to pay child support until the child is 18. And so a lot of people are like, well, wait a minute. The DNA shows, you know, because we're like the microwave generation. You know, we're used mm-hmm. to, like, you know, you see even people who won't admit to watching Maury. We see Maury mm-hmm. and, you know, Maury does this big, huge production. You are not the father. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to admit to actually watching that show. But Maury mm-hmm. has been on for almost longer than I've been alive. So that's telling me that even though you won't admit to watching it, it's a lot of people out there watching it. Because remember, mm-hmm. I'm a journalist, TV background, and I know how it works. If nobody's mm-hmm. watching the show, they're not going to keep it on the air, right?
Right.
And so that story, the original book, Daddy by Default, It just really got people thinking, number one, about paternity fraud, because although it is not illegal, it may be immoral for a woman to say, well, Johnny is the baby's daddy when it's really Larry, but Larry may not be able to hang on to a job, and Johnny works at the post office. He's a government employee. He's got all these wonderful benefits. And so I'm going to just go ahead and pick him because Larry, you know, Larry may be cute. Larry may do it for you. But at the end of the day, Larry can't buy Pampers or milk. So I'm going to just go ahead and pick Johnny. And, you know, it's the thing that people don't want or like to talk about, but it happens. Mm-hmm. And in this day and age, we're at a time when DNA can prove that, oh, oops, I'm sorry, but you put him on the birth certificate, but he's not the daddy. And so that, you know, that story really resonated with readers. And after that, I came up with a sequel. And although Somebody Has to Pay is not a sequel, it is a direct response to what readers were asking for, because they kept saying, if a woman knowingly, if she knowingly fingers the wrong guy and says that he's the father and collects child support, and then it is later discovered that she lied, she should face some kind of consequence for that. Well, in this country in 2015, she doesn't face any consequence. She doesn't have to pay any money back. She doesn't go to jail. Nothing happens to her. And there are a lot of people who are not very happy with that.
Wow. You learn something new every day. So you actually wrote the first one, and then as a result of other people's feedback, that's how the other one starts kind of stemming and starts coming to light in life, so to speak.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So this one was just released on last month, and you have any upcoming events?
I do. I have, I live in Houston, and so I have an event with the library system here in Houston, and then I'm a member of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority, and our regional conferences are coming up in the spring, and I will be at all of the regional conferences signing copies of my new novel and, of course, some oldies but goodies. And I always tell people, you know, this is the time that as authors we really, really need your support. I don't know how many people still go into bookstores to look for their favorite authors, but what you will find if you go into a bookstore is that many of your favorite authors do not have current titles on the shelves. And the reason that we don't have current titles on the shelves is because we need you to speak more with your buying dollar. We need you to get out there. If you go to the bookstore and Somebody Has to Pay is not on the shelf, I need you to say to the manager or to somebody, hey, Pat Tucker just had a book come out last month. I came here to get it. It's not here. I need you to order it. Because believe it or not, the customer still has the vast majority of the power. Now, we know as authors, we know that we are competing. We're competing with reality TV. We're competing with music from iTunes. We're competing with a lot. So we know that your discretionary funds, we know that your discretionary funds are valuable, and we know that you probably have to spread it thin, but don't forget about the authors, because in many cases, you know, we are here at your pleasure. And I mean that simply by saying, if you don't go out and support us next year when you're looking for our latest title, you may not be able to find it. And so when we say to you, hey, I have a new book drop and I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and I'm trying to convince you to get the book, it's the holidays, go ahead and order a few copies for the people in your office or your family members or your girlfriends, because the thing about it is, oftentimes, what you do, yes, you're going to buy one copy, but buy a few more copies for a few people that you know, because that counts toward making sure that we get that next deal, so that next year or the year after that, when you walk into the bookstore and you're looking for something good to read, that you'll be able to get a Pat Tucker novel. You'll be able to get a Pat Tucker story.
Gotcha. All right. Well, excuse me. So, Pat, what do you have coming up other than, like, events? Are you have another spinoff of this one you're thinking about? Or?
No, I actually have two books in the can right now. And one is called Guarding Secrets, and that is actually based on an actual event. And Guarding Secrets is about an inmate who basically over a prison, and he impregnates like three or four of the female guards, and he's running a very successful smuggling operation. Now, this is a real true story that happened. I was floored by it, But it, you know, through my research and everything, I was like, oh, he's going in a book. So Guarding Secrets is my version of that story. And then thereafter, I have another story called Free Fridays, which is about a couple who's been married. They really weren't even married for, I don't even think they were married for like 10 years. But what happened was they started seeing people around them, their friends, who were breaking up and divorcing. And so the husband decides, you know, that's not the fate I want for us. I want us to make it. And so he's like, well, let's try something revolutionary. Let's, you know, let's try something unorthodox, something, let's think outside the box. And he comes up with this idea called Free Fridays, where on Fridays they get to do whatever they want, whatever that may be. If that is going out to dinner alone and, you know, not having to worry about the spouse and what the spouse is eating, so be it. Or if it's going on a date with someone, Free Fridays. And then the story just basically really looks at, why does a couple have to be married, or does a couple need to be married for their lifetime to consider their marriage a success? So one of the antagonists in the story, she's like, look, we were married for 10 years. We helped each other build our careers. And then we got to a point where we decided that we could no longer be of benefit for each other. So we decided amicably to go our separate ways. Why can't that be viewed as a success? And so I really kind of look into the fact that the institution of marriage has not changed since the beginning of time, when everything around us has. Characters really kind of look at whether we need to update marriage, whether we need to update what is considered a successful marriage. So for you, maybe being married for 10 years, you know, going your separate ways after 10 years, remaining friends, and, you know, maybe for you, that's a successful marriage versus, you know, the couple that's been married for 53 years and you then decide that, hey, I find out this and this and this happened over the course of the 53 years and now I want to divorce you. What really constitutes a successful marriage? And so that's what Free Fridays looks at.
So those are two that you're working on, and you just released one last month. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, if you're just joining us, we have author Ms. Pat Tucker on the line with us, and the topic tonight is Righting Wrongs, and it actually stems from a book that she released last month. And then she was sharing with us two more that she actually has in incubation, if you will. So, Pat, how do we follow you? How do the listeners purchase your books? How do we move forward in trying to keep up with you and the things you're doing? Because you're doing a whole lot.
Yes, I am. And here's the thing. I always tell people that I'm a social butterfly. So I'm on social media. You can find me, Pat Tucker, and you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I have a fan page. You can also go to my website, authorpattucker.com. And in addition to the books, I have two of my novels that have been optioned for film. So pretty soon, my work is going to be on the big screen, and I'm very, very excited about that.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that. Yes. So, you know, I would say to your listeners that they need to hurry up and jump on the bandwagon and get, you know, get into my circle of friends on social media or whatever it is that you need to catch up with me, because I'm doing big things.
Do it. You are doing it. You are doing it. And by the way, when it goes into film, you know, if you need someone to play a part, just let me know. I'll be there for you.
You know what? You know that's the number one thing I hear, right? And what people don't realize, is once we sign those rights over to have the book adapted to film, you know, we don't have any more say in what happens thereafter. But let me say that for Daddy by Default, I have seen the screenplay, and they did a fantabulous job. I cannot wait for that to move. Because in many cases, when you have a film that's based on a book, people always say, oh, the book was so much better. Oh, I don't know what they were thinking. But I'm telling you, as the author of Daddy by Default, I've seen the screenplay. They did a fabulous job with that.
Wow. Wow. That is great, because like you said, a lot of people will say, nowhere near it, you know.
Yes.
So that's good to know. That's good to hear. So you are listed as Pat Tucker on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Are you on Periscope?
You know what? I am on Periscope, and I'm actually as author Pat Tucker on Twitter and Periscope and Instagram, okay. But on Facebook, I'm Pat Tucker.
Okay. Right. Well, was there anything you want to leave with the listening audience? Any final words you want to leave with the listening audience tonight?
I think that if you remember anything that I say to you, please remember that as authors, especially as Black authors, we need your support more now than ever before. Bookstores are closing left and right, and I write specifically for Black women. Of course, there are other people who read my books, and there are other people, I want other people to read my books, but my focus audience is the Black woman. And so I say to you, if you enjoy picking up a book and reading, you know, characters that remind you of you or people that you know, people that you socialize with, people that you work with, speak with your discretionary dollars. Speak with your money. Go and support that author. I would appreciate your support. I am asking for your support, but don't just support me. Support all Black authors, because we write for your pleasure. And since we write for your pleasure, do know and understand that without your support, you know, we may as well just be in a room talking to ourselves. And so I would really, really hate to see, you know, to see it come to that. But I always say to people, know and understand that your support means a whole lot more. I get that the reality TV shows are so awesome and great, and you get on Facebook and you talk about it. But don't forget to pick up a book, you know, pick up a book.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pick up a book, know that you are supporting that author and you're supporting the advancement of that author's career.
Now, are your books available on ebook as well?
Absolutely. And I remember there was a time when I would say to people, "Oh, I need you to get the paperback. I just need you to get a book. I don't care. Get an ebook, get it paper, whatever. Just get the book." Because we used to be like, "Oh no, get the paperback book." And the reason that we used to do that is because when it comes time for us to get a new contract, they only look at the printed books, and that's how they determine what they're going to pay us. But honestly, we are at situation critical right now. So I just need you to support, maybe support on your cell phone, your tablet, your whatever, just support.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Well, Pat, I thank you so much for stopping by and sharing your time with us, because I know when you first release a book, so much that you're doing, and then you're getting ready for yours to go as a screenplay into a movie. So, yes, we truly appreciate you stopping by On Fire to Inspire tonight and sharing with us. And we wish many blessings on your endeavors. And make sure you guys do connect with her on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. She is on Facebook. It's Pat Tucker. And she is on the other one. That's author Pat Tucker. So make sure you go by and check her out, get her, get some copies of her books, share them with some family members, great Christmas gifts. And thanks again for being on our show.
It has been my extreme pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. Well, we thank you for listening to On Fire to Inspire tonight. We'll tune in next week, and each and every week we are here at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tell a friend, tell a family member, because my assignment, my job, is to help push you into your purpose and your passion. And so as you heard from Pat tonight, she had so many rejection letters before she got that first offer. So she didn't allow denial to be her delay. She didn't allow denial or delay to be her end result. She said, I'm going to make this happen because I know what's on the inside of me. And long as you know who you are and whose you are, there is greatness in you. So it's time to stand up, step up, and make it happen. Tune in next week again on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to have a co-host, Ms. Michelle Roberts, author and motivator. And I tell you, we're going to be talking about accomplishments for 2015 that you've accomplished. We're going to get you motivated. We're going to get others, babies, leaping, because there's too many people sitting on their gifts. It's time to walk in your greatness that's already on the inside of you. We have 9 days left before the end of this year. So don't sit on saying 2016 is here. No, it's not here yet. You have 9 more days to make it happen. Get your momentum up. Be intentional and be strategic. It's time to get it done. This is Aaliyah Butler, Miss On Fire to Inspire. Tune in next week. Love you guys and have a great night.